I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Let me get that out of the way.
Are we podcasting?
I think we're podcasting. We're podcasting.
We're podcasting.
We're doing it. We're podcasting.
We're here.
You can find us here. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can watch the whole video of this.
Which, welcome to me not, I've given up.
She looks cute. If you're listening and you're not watching, she's worked out. She went on a hike this morning.
I went on a hike and I have a lot to say about hikes. So I have this like thing that I'm trying to do where I'm trying very hard, and you said it best, to be present and pleasant.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And I know what makes – I'm old enough that I know what makes me happy.
Yeah.
And I should be doing that.
Yeah.
And for the last, like, 8 months, it was my goal to lose a little weight. But what happened was I went and got my hormones checked and I got balanced out and then went through a pretty big bout of stress. And I did drop some weight. And I was like, well, it feels good when you – whatever a reason or another, you start, you see a little bit of progress. You're
motivates
like, oh God, because I'm like a mesomorph, man. I stay the same weight. The needle doesn't move.
Yeah.
I'm not great at any of it. I'm not great at, I think what I did was I realized that eating at night and overeating every meal that I had, if I could just reduce a little bit, it really made a difference. So I've lost a little bit of weight, not a ton. It just makes me feel good, but I couldn't work out because of my stupid hip injury. So I just decided I'm going to focus on food, not on working out, not on anything except letting my body rest. And that was the hardest thing I've ever done. So today I went on a hike. It felt great. Everything's in bloom. I love being outside. I think hikes are the greatest way for anybody to move their body and it do all the right things for you. Because it does not matter how fast you go.
Nope.
It does not matter how slow you go. And yes, I am just like the person on the TikTok video that is viral that makes fun of white people hiking, where every time you come up, you're like, hi.
I literally
say hello to every person.
That's hilarious.
I want to know everybody that is on the hike.
Yeah.
There's a gal that sells juices at the end of the hike. I'm always like waving to her like we're best friends. But the thing I like about hiking is that it feels like there is something it does the right thing for my brain, because I start and I look back and I go, oh man, I've gone a long way.
Yes.
And then I look ahead and I'm like, I have so much further to go, but it does the right thing to me mentally.
I hate workouts, and usually just because I think they're monotonous and boring.
Totally.
Like, I don't like to do a spin class because then I'm like paying it. It's almost like I'm hyper aware of how much I'm working out because you have to like pay attention, where I would rather like put on music I love and then I'm like, oh, I already went 2 miles or whatever it is. And I think hiking's good too, because you are looking around, you're seeing new things and you don't get bored.
No.
And you get fresh air.
I just love it.
Yeah. It's so good.
I love touching nature and being around stuff that's green. And I think that there's a lot of when you are feeling like, oh God, I got to start up again, or I got to get that, there's this idea that you got to go get on a spin bike and kill yourself for an hour. I'm like, I'm going to do this different. I always do that. And then I'm sore and then I'm mad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to start with a hike.
That's
and
perfect.
I'm just going to go outside, because I do love being, that's my thing. Like I like being outside and I like, I don't, I mean, this is the way I look right now is how I would literally look every day.
You look great.
No, come on.
Me without makeup on. I look like a rosacea study. I look like so many horrible things. That's
not true. I have seen you without makeup. I've seen you without your eyebrows and you look like you're like 14 years old.
God.
People always ask me, they're like, are you tired? I'm like, I am.
It was so funny. At our last show, you guys go to imomsohard.com for tickets. We're probably coming to a city by
We're having a blast.
It's so fun. But somebody that my husband went to college with, and he is not a million years older than me. He's an early grayer.
Like
he was gray when I met him, and he wasn't even in his 40s.
Yeah.
So he turned gray like all over. And so this woman that he went to college with goes, I can't believe Britt married someone so much younger than him. And I go, I don't know how old you think I am, but let's make out.
Yeah, let's thank you for that. And you're right. He's lucky.
He is. Yeah, but I was like, she is drastically wrong about our age difference, I think.
What is it? Eight?
8 years.
8 years.
Yeah, which isn't – I mean,
I don't think it's that big.
I had age differences like that when I was in middle school.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. No, I didn't.
I'm going to punch you. No, I'm going to punch him. I'm going to punch everybody. I'm going to
punch everybody. I waited till high school for that.
I've never dated anyone significantly older than me. Well, that's not true. But I did date someone younger than me, and that was weird, and I didn't like it. But that was just my opinion. I was in a place where it just wasn't the right. I felt like no matter what I did, he would win.
I got set up with a guy who was literally twice my age when I was in my 20s.
No.
And I was like, oh no. And that actually happened again. This is actually a good setup for what we were going to talk about today, because Kristen and I are going to talk about the rampant lies that are going through our houses with the kids and like our own stuff. And like, I was thinking about it last night. I'm like, I think the big whoppers or like times where I felt like I lied to my friends was when I was dating somebody I was really embarrassed, or like hooking up with somebody I was embarrassed about. And I like, so I did not tell the truth necessarily in those instances. But I think, but then I thought about
it too. I'm so the opposite. I'd come in and I'd be like, you guys, they did a really dumb thing.
Oh, God.
Oh man. What was I thinking? Know. That barback is an idiot.
I know. I guess now, I think it's more like in that moment. Because now I'm more honest about it. I'll be like, whatever. I made bad decisions back then. But like
at the
time I remember, and I think the times now where I'm not like, I don't ever like make up a false reality, but I don't say things sometimes because I'm protecting my privacy or like
lying becomes a very different thing at this age. At this point, you're like, why?
Or I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
We all know those lies exist in motherhood and in like later years because you're just trying to protect somebody.
Right.
But in your 20s, man, or if you were me in like junior high, lies were, oh my God, because my son, like I'm watching this happen. Like it's a house of lies.
Yeah.
And I know what he's doing. It's like if the fish were a little bigger, the story is even better. But like I have heard him like rewrite a story that we were together. And I was like, what? But I know what he's doing. He's making the story more compelling.
Oh, yeah.
Which I appreciate. But I'm like there was this – here's a perfect example. Finn and I were on the freeway and he was in the back seat. And he was so little that he was in a car seat. So a booster.
Yeah.
And so we were heading – oh, God, help me with directions. We were heading towards Sherman Oaks in our – in on the 101.
Wait, by the way, can I tell one lie?
Yeah.
Because I think I made myself sound hoary. I'm going to tell one more. I've only had sex with 4 people in my life. That is an absolute lie, but that's
– I was like, that's well, now I feel about. Hoary.
So not true.
I'm not. I look.
But that's what I mean. Like, you don't have to give people all your information, you know?
Yeah. But I'm going to plead the 5th on that.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm going to plead. I'm gonna delete the math on all of that.
No, that kind of math and stuff like that. You're
fine. You can
tell.
You can say whatever you want. That's nobody's business.
Right? Right.
You don't have to disclose any of that. Like, we're
that
not in confession.
Yeah.
Also, I wouldn't say it in confession. I'm like, who are you, bro? I'm like, gonna.
Yeah,
like,
let's
I
talk
lived
about
a
what
very
you've done.
Full 20s. I don't need to explain myself.
Exactly.
I had to explain myself to myself. That was enough. A lot of nights like, oh, God.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So you're on the 101.
So we're on the 101.
Which is the, we call it here in California, you just give it the highway number, the freeway number.
The freeway number. I'm on the 101 and to my left. So I'm driving to over the median and in the other side of the freeway going the other direction. On the shoulder was a truck that was on fire.
Yui. Yeah.
And it was so on fire that when Finn and I drove by the car, you know, in the other direction. So there were three lanes that were literally like, cars were going by this car that was on fire and we could feel the heat.
Oh my God.
So it scared me because I was like, what if it explodes? Whatever. We hear later that the guy that was driving the car or the truck had started on fire and he felt heat under his feet and he got out right before it.
Well, so let me say something about LA drivers too. They're really bad.
Yep.
It's just true.
It's just true.
Because usually you should figure out like, oh, there's something there. I need to go around it. Let's figure out a way we can all go.
Somebody's like, it's, well, I'm late and it's my life and it's my way.
Not going to help everybody.
Yep.
It's like if you go to Europe, like six cars can squeeze through one little intersection you because everybody's like, we're all in a hurry. Let's do
in
this.
In LA, they're like, I need three lanes for my Lexus. Thank you.
The other thing is there's a car fire. There's imminent danger on the side of the freeway.
They
you know what
do
people
not
do?
Care.
Video it. Slow down video it. Like that is
the world is broken. Don't get me started.
Yeah.
So we drive by this fire and I got scared. I was like, you know, just doing like fast math, like could it start our car on fire? Whatever.
Yeah.
So I go, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. And Finn could hear me scared and he looked out the window and he could see the fire. Okay. That's all. We drove by it. Felt heat.
Yep.
That was it. I heard this person retell this story.
Oh, no.
And you would have thought that we were in the movie Die Hard. Like, he was like, we came up on the fire. We saw the man leave the car. The car explodes. Pieces of metal are hitting our car. Our car starts on fire. I'm like, where the fuck did this happen? Like,
yeah.
I certainly was not a part
it's
of this.
It's certainly a better story.
It's such a better story. So I stopped him. Like, I let him have his minute because like, the audience was compelled, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But I took him aside and I go, hey, buddy, I just want you to, I just want to, you know that like none of that happened, right? And he's like, no, that's how I remember it. And I'm like, oh man, you believe your own lies. I've been down that road. Like, you lie so hard that you start to rewrite the truth.
Yeah.
So in his mind's eye, I think he kind of believes it, but it's just not true. It's like a bag of lies. And that is what, there's times where he'll tell me a story and I can see his eyes change. They kind of like go up in his head and I'm like, this part's not true.
Oh.
I'm like, Finn.
Or he's like looking for the words.
Yeah, he's like filling in the blanks. Like he'll tell me a story like, mom, this kid on the bus today said a bad word and the bus driver got really upset. And then all of a sudden his eyes go up and he's like, then the bus driver pulled over and started to fist fight. I go, this is not true. This part is not true.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'm just joking. And I'm
I know. Well, Dash will do this thing and I can't call it out and out lies. And I emotionally manipulate the shit out of him because I'll be like,
fair.
You are my boy who does not lie. And I know I can go to you and I can get the story and it will be honest. So I've got that working for me.
Yep.
However, now what he does is I forget. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Which is just like, it's like type B lying. It's just like a different like tier of it where I'm like, did you do your homework? He's like, yeah. And then I see him doing something later because he wants to like get on the iPad or whatever.
Oh
and I'm
my
like,
God.
What are you doing? He's like, oh, I forgot I had this. And I'm like, you're full of shit.
I call it. Bag of lies all for
yes.
the iPad.
Totally.
I go, hey, Finn, we see that you put $60 of charges.
Oh, my God.
Where do you think they go, first of all?
Yeah.
Do you think that just the universe just gives you money for the iPad? You think we don't see it? Like, we get pinged every time, and we told him he's not allowed to just go buy whatever he wants. So he was like
Robux or whatever?
Right.
Yeah.
So he goes, I don't even know how. I don't even know how that happened. I wonder if I, like, was, like, laying down and my elbow just, like, hit the buy coins button.
Oh, God, and then, clever.
And I'm like, you have to run 15 steps, plus know a password. You just God. Rolled over on your iPad and all of a sudden, like, bing, bing, bing.
I can't get the password right trying, man.
Like, my thermal print doesn't work. It's like got a retinal scan. You think for a second that, like, I believe that you just rolled over onto your iPad? Like,
yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
Bane of my existence right now, too, library books. I mean, I wish they came on one of those chain, like, janitor keys because I'm constantly losing them. I see one. I see that sticker on the bike.
And so I'm like, stressed out.
I put it, like, somewhere I know I'm going to, like, yes. I should just hang it from my rear view so I can never lose it.
Oh, my God.
They always lose it. And so Dash is looking for Captain Underpants. Number 11 from the library, which, by the way, we already own Captain Underpants.
I was going to say, why is he getting the 11? Book that he's already read?
I don't, 14 times probably. Yeah. He's read it so many times.
Now, like, you owe the library.
So now he can't find this book. I go, how long has this book been late? He goes, 2 weeks.
And it's not the book. It's the principal. It's the fact that, like, in the world, you have this outstanding thing. It does not matter. Like, I still feel, like, pissed off that I have, like, Blockbuster charges.
And he doesn't lose his iPad.
Never.
He doesn't lose it. He knows where it is because it matters to him. That's what I always tell him. Yep. So, you know, he says about his library book today when I was like, well, did you leave it in the car when we were driving at one point? He's been in the back seat because we've got family in town.
Retracing your steps.
Yeah. He goes, I think Sissy did something with it. And I was like,
the lies you tell.
Cannot throw yourself. What, she's gonna like a book she doesn't like? You think she's gonna like just sabotage your world?
I'm telling you, Eleanor tried. Literally, this is what she goes. She was so mad that she couldn't find her homework folder. And I love my daughter, but she's messy. And it is a trail of Eleanor everywhere we go. There is some version of a craft project or a half, like, an open school book in one room. And then she, like, has to meander. So she goes into, I'm, like, trying to keep everything at the table, you know. And I go, Eleanor, where is your book report or whatever it is she had? And she goes, I think Daisy took it. I go, are you trying to tell me the dog ate your homework?
That's what the youngest child does.
I want you to know how old that excuse is and how how uninspired your lies are. And I've raised you better. If you're going to lie, you nuance that shit. You don't tell me the dog took it.
You got to be more clever.
You got to be clever. You blame it on the Amazon guy.
They've been saying that since the 1800s.
Yeah. No, how the dog ate your homework?
Cave kids were saying the dog ate my homework.
Yeah, I was unimpressed on several levels. The fact that she lied with zero creativity, I've raised her better. And the fact that, like, she used the oldest one in the book. Boo.
Well, the youngest person or individual in our house right now is Pearl, the dog, who is like 9-month-old lab. And I was remarking when I came home from our last show, I was like, she's really gotten good. She's not chewing. So you know what I did? I jinxed myself.
Oh.
Because she chewed up my son's school notebook last night. Literally, I was like, you are a cliche dog. Yep. You ate his school homework. Notebook.
And now you have to go to the teacher and be like, I swear to God, it's not a lie.
Oh, my God. I know. Which the teacher is already like, she's so nice, but she's got to wonder, like, who is steering the ship over there? Because evidently every thermos we have leaks or something. And I'm sure that's probably true because the lids don't match. They just get, like, thrown into this thing. Yeah. We have destroyed 2 library books, so that's why I'm going to burn the house down rather than lose this Captain Underpants number 11. So he even brought our copy. And I was like, you see if she'll take that and just, like, redo the sticker on it. Because
can we redo this? The librarian's like, nope.
Because he's got these books from school that I've had to order on Amazon, like the new copy of it. I'll show you. On my kitchen table right now is this battered and destroyed book that the teacher was like, you can have that. You gave
that.
Me a new one. I don't necessarily need this one.
Yeah.
And then so Dash, last night after Pearl, like – we're talking the spiral was like
she's a lab. She's gonna
out.
Like
it. Literally, she ate most of the pages because there wasn't that much to clean up. And he's like, "I'm gonna keep it." And I was like, "This is your father." I throw stuff away.
If it has any work in there, I would keep it.
Yeah, it had some of
Eleanor's looks like that, and she doesn't have a lab.
Well, we all do that. You get bored and you start like unspinning it. You regret it. And you
decision
can't,
of
you, nobody ugh. Ever has the patience to put it back in.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I remember when I was in elementary school, I had this friend, and she was awesome. She just moved to town. And I literally would hang on her every word. She was so good at telling stories. And she was, I guess, when we met Eleanor and Dashiell's age.
Okay.
Maybe 1 year Aww. Younger. Little. And moving to a new town is hard. And she told me.
Oh, the age they are now.
Yeah, the age they are now. So maybe she was even younger. Anyway.
Literally, my brain went to when they met, which is like.
Sorry, when they were infants?
Yeah.
Sorry. So maybe third grade, I think. And I had this friend, and she told me, I mean, literally, she could have told me anything. I'm the person on the hook. You want to lie to me because I'm that easy. I don't smell trouble. I just am like, whoa. And she told me that, like.
It depends, because you're good at picking up on stuff sometimes that I'm like, what?
Maybe you think, I don't know. I think it never, at this age, it never occurred to me that she might be fibbing because she was new to school trying to make friends and whatever. So
you don't look for it when you're a kid.
No, yeah. I just took everybody by face value. So she told me this story. Mind you, I've lived in Central City my whole life. My dad is from there. Yeah. And she told me that an entire family had been murdered in her house and that there was like SS written in blood in her closet. And I was like, what? And it was the most thrilling. And she would give me more information every time we talked. And I could ask her questions and she would fill in the blanks. And I was like,
Why does she know that much about murder at that grade? I know.
Well, true crime. I was like,
Of course, that's where it peaked for you. It peaked for me. Oh.
And then she told me that she had all of the pretty ponies, like the entire set of pretty ponies. And I was like, whoa. And then like all of these things. And then there was just one moment where I asked her point blank, like, can I see all your pretty ponies? And she goes, I lied. And I looked at her and I was like, I have so many feelings right now. But I remember feeling foolish.
Yeah.
And mad. Also sad for her, but also just like duped.
Yeah.
But I was so young. And then she just honestly said, like, I just lied because I wanted you to like me and I wanted to make friends. So the purpose behind the lie is like the bigger thing to look at. But I remember feeling like nothing feels as bad as when you've been lied to and you buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, fast forward into dating. And if you've ever been cheated on.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. There is no dating, marriage, whatever. You've ever been cheated on and those lies.
There's levels of it. And they have to be so cunning. Constant.
Yes. Too. My dad always says you never have to remember what you said if you tell the truth.
I know.
Because my resume was just a bag of lies.
Well, we all embellish on
our resumes,
God.
I was like, I can hula hoop. So that means I can do aerial gymnastics on a hula hoop in the air. So sure, I do, you know, terrified of heights. Love being in the air on a hula hoop.
So Delilah's in the second grade, which I think is probably the peak of all of this.
Yeah.
Because she'll also go, hey, mom, she'll get me to try and like buy into stuff where she'll be like, hey, mom, remember when I was a baby and you used to sing this song to me? And I'm like, nope, I did sing songs to you, but it wasn't.
But you feel like you don't want to get under it. For some reason, that feels creative to me. Careful. You're like, I don't want your imagination to go away or the world be too truthful.
Shaming her about it.
No, I know you're not.
I'll say like I go, I would have sang that song to you, but I didn't know it. It just came out or something like that. You know,
Taylor Swift had not gone on her Eras tour yet.
So there's a girl that she goes to school with who – it started like at the beginning of the year, like we went to her birthday party and She goes, well, we have an Olympic-sized pool at our house. And I was like, nobody wants an Olympic-sized pool at their house. Yeah, can you imagine what it costs to heat that thing or clean it? Like, there's no way. The Spellings don't have an Olympic-sized pool at their house. Like,
then all you want to do is just debunk it. And I don't care if it's a 10-year-old or a 40-year-old. If they say something like that, I'm like, then I'll buy
and
it.
And I'm also like, where'd you hear Olympic-sized pool? Is that being a good thing? So that's where I started to get like weirded out. I'm like,
look at our faces. We're like, we're smelling something bad right now. We're like, bullshit. Like,
where are these lies coming from? It's also like,
it's
makes
a braggy,
me wonder,
weird, ugly lie.
Your friend saying like, how does she know that like writing SS and that, like, did she, I mean, that's,
I don't where know. Where did she learn? She had older siblings? Yeah. I don't know. Like, well, listen, it was the 80s, man.
Yeah,
it was reliving on 60 Minutes.
Her Goodnight novel was Helter Skelter.
I mean,
I
honestly,
think,
what,
right?
I watched murder shit when I was younger. My parents were like, as long as there's no F words or boobs, you can watch it. I was like, feels like there's a lot on the table.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because they kept coming. Like, these lies kept coming. And I would say, I didn't want to, like, call a second grader a liar. I said, well, I go, you know, it sounds like maybe she feels like she needs to impress you guys. Maybe she just needs a little extra love. You just show her that you – tell her you like her, how she is, whatever, and then eventually maybe she'll lean into that. No, she didn't, because it kept getting worse. And then it was so hilarious because Delilah told me on the wrong day, she's like, she's going to France for her birthday. And I go, all right, bullshit. She is not. I am tired of this. Maybe you need to not hang out with her anymore. Sure, shit. She went to France for her birthday.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well.
I was like, wow, that is a nice trip. So maybe some of this we need to relook at.
Maybe the pool is that big. What kind
of
real estate?
I saw it at the birthday party. It's not. But it's also the kind of thing that I don't want Delilah to think she has to have big stories to impress people either.
Right.
Like, I don't want that to be the bar that these girls are setting with each other, you know?
Yeah, like, it's tricky because I do remember, like, really feeling the need to, like, add information on when I was in, like, junior high because I just was such a disaster.
Yeah.
That this is the God's honest truth. I went to Pizza Hut by the way, we rarely went because Dewey and Terry were not into spending on pizza.
Oh, man. Maybe so once every 2 weeks.
When you got your
booking. Oh, yeah. And you got your free personal pizza.
We're a billionaire. We didn't go every 2 weeks. I was like, if we went like once every 3 months, I was like, man, are we rich?
No, can I just say that I heard myself say that? And in my head, I was like, Jen, you buy too much pizza. Maybe you need to
now
cook dinner
weekly,
at home. I know.
A weekly occasion because it's cheap and it's available and people deliver it.
And they'll eat it.
Yeah. When we were at Pizza Hut, we had to go get it. So we would live on the farm and it was like a 5-mile drive. And my mom was like, I'll just put some chicken on. I'm like, ugh.
Always.
So I went into Pizza Hut and I can remember this like it was yesterday, which is so weird. I went into a stall in the bathroom and funny enough, there was some writing on the wall, and on the wall was like, I love Peter. And I was like, Peter must be a boyfriend. Oh, boyfriend would be cool. I should have a boyfriend. Where's my boyfriend? Well, he's not here, so I should make him from somewhere. I'll make him that he lives in Canada. Okay, I have a boyfriend named Peter who lives in Canada.
John
and
Glass.
I just went with that.
Yeah.
And I like created an entire reality in my brain that like, I probably – Lynn's like, I remember this. God, you just were in love with this guy from Canada.
Aww.
But I did remember that it like – it filled in the blanks that I didn't have going in my real life.
Yeah.
So I created a false narrative. And I think that happens whether we're in middle school. I think we do it keeping up with the Joneses a little bit. I think we do that to like elevate ourselves in the eyes of other people. But I remember being exhausted from having to lie.
Yeah.
And also people were just like, fucking Kristen, we know that he doesn't exist. He's not in Canada. And then I was like, all right. But it was just in an effort to be like everybody else and to be cool.
But how old were you, do you think?
I think I was probably like 11.
See.
Maybe 12. Sixth grade, I feel like, was probably.
That's what I sort of feel like with what Delilah is doing right now. She's not doing it to, like, get out of trouble.
No.
It isn't,
that's a different kind of lie.
And it's not things that are, like, impressive. It's just sort of like she's checking. It's almost like she's saying, wouldn't it be nice if.
Right. That's a different kind of thing.
I think it's, like, imagination and stuff like that, which feels really different. Like, When I was in kindergarten, this is like the biggest I remember getting in trouble. And I can go into a whole barrage of the bad parenting, I think, that went with this. But I remember my biggest thing when I was a kid was we had cookie day, which, boy, back when fundraising was a whole different decimal
cookie
points.
Cookie day is a big deal.
You would bring a quarter to school and you could get 5 cookies, like all the moms baked cookies. And
God,
and
that's little cheap. Shit, they're getting $2.50 a pop right now, and they're not even that big.
I think you could even like, I think you could bring 2 quarters was like the max or something. And
get 10 cookies, I'm set.
Yeah. So I got an allowance and I had saved 8 quarters.
Yeah.
And I had them, like I was afternoon kindergarten, and I remember like playing with them while I was watching The Price is Right or whatever. And my mom was like, you're only allowed to bring 1 quarter to school.
Yeah.
And, you know, she knew me. So she was like, don't you bring those extra quarters to school. Well, I brought them to school, of course, because my parents had told me like it was a big deal that I'd saved my money. Yeah. Like I was proud of it. Yep. And quarters are beautiful when you're a kindergartner.
Oh my God, it's the biggest money. You don't care about the paper money. You want the coin.
Oh my God, it looks like gold to blooms
and
to you.
It's big in your hands. It's like a Plinko chip. It was like, you're like, Jesus Christ, am I like a billionaire?
So I brought my quarters and I brought them to school and I showed the kids at school that I brought them. And then the teacher took them. And this is the part I still stand by and I disagree with. She said that I was putting them in my mouth, but I remember as a kid, I never did that.
Yeah, you're like look, teacher, we're all fishes, bigger situation, aren't we?
Maybe I tasted one at one point and was like, this isn't a thing I want to have in my mouth. You may quote me. Yeah, which is another lie I've told.
That's another podcast episode. We don't need to talk about that either.
Yeah, but so she took them, and then my brother, who was older, had to come pick him up. So I remember like going out to the car and waiting. And she was like, where's your brother? I'm like, I think he had to go get something. it was like the biggest I'd gotten and
been in trouble ever, probably.
My mom was like, you deceived me and that's a lie.
Yeah.
Like you went – and that was me trying to get out of trouble.
Yeah. Well, the lie umbrella can be – tricky. You're kind of like, is deception a lie? Is fibbing as bad as a lie?
I think she should have explained it to me rather than going straight nuclear. But that's what 80s parents did.
I don't know if
you know how
the 80s worked. They just freaking went full nuclear, so they never had to tread that again.
They just scare the
shit out of you.
Now we're getting divorced.
I remember my dad, when we lived on the farm, cold. It was so cold. We lived in this really drafty farmhouse that my parents moved into after my grandparents died, and we were going to try to like renovate it, but it was a terrible time for my mom. I look back and it was so hard and it was so cold, and we were not good pet owners. My parents were not good. My mom did not like having like dogs in the house, so they were like farm dogs. I hated that because I wanted them to be in the house with me. And so we'd put them out in the barn, and you'd have to walk out there to feed and water them. It was terrible. It was not great. And so my dad was like, okay, you need to feed the dogs tonight. It was cold as shit. And I was like, well, Dewey, you have your boots on. Why can't you do it? But I didn't say that. And so then he went and did something and came back, and he goes, did you feed the dogs? And I flat looked at him and I go, yes. And then I don't know how he figured it out.
Yeah.
But he walked into the living room. And I was riddled with guilt. I like
the second
bold
you did it, I
play,
know.
Face lied to him.
Yeah.
I looked him square in the eye and I said yes. And those dogs were hungry and did not have water. And
so you felt like shit already.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was like, I'm a terrible person. And he looked at me and he goes, did you feed the dogs last night? And I, like, you know, where your mouth like becomes like you're just all tells. I'm like, I should never commit a crime. I'm like, it's so easy. My eyes are all big. And I go, no, I lied. And his face, he was so disappointed in me. And I, like, was the best kid you've ever dealt with for, like, 2 weeks. I did all the chores. I wrote the saddest, like, 4-page letter of apology to my dad. Like,
to the dogs.
Yeah, to the dogs. I was like, I do not deserve your forgiveness. And, like, just, like, layered it on. Meanwhile, I think I probably lied to my mom, like, every day. And I was like, I'm not writing you a letter. Different.
Well, I mean, yeah, and they're different kind of lies too, because you felt bad because you squarely said the opposite.
It was a square full, bold-faced lie. And I've never felt more terrible. And my lie hurt my dogs. And my lie made my dad look at me with disappointment. And I think that, like, sealed the deal for me. Like, yeah. I'm gonna be a kid you're proud of, because I can't handle that look. That look of disappointment shattered me. And because it was real, whereas my mom would, like, you know, like, get mad at me and then, like, really bring it home. She'd say stuff like, you should feel so bad right now. And I'm like, I don't feel that bad. But my dad would look at me with disappointment. I'm like, oh God, I feel so bad.
I know. Well, I'm trying to, like, we all are, like, trying to teach our kids that, like, the consequences of what they do, like, how they affect other people. Like, so the kids are going on a trip with Brit that I can't go on because we're going to be on the road. And I'm bummed about it, and I'm, like, overcompensating, and Delilah's growing so fast, so I'm trying to get her, like, really trying hard to get her clothes that she likes and feels good in, because she doesn't like wearing her glasses right now. Like, today she didn't wear them to school, and I – think she did it on purpose.
Yeah,
she didn't. I go, hey, you forgot your glasses. I'm gonna bring them to you. Like, runs out of the car.
Yeah. And I don't know what I mean.
I rolled down the window and I go, I'm bringing them to you. And then she came in. I brought them to the office. She's bring like, them. Grr. She doesn't put them on, and I followed her because I was gonna go, like, to a meeting. And I go, put your glasses on. Oh, yeah.
I didn't hear you, Mom. Have you been here the whole time? What glasses and are you talking about?
And she goes to put them on, and I think she thought it was leaving again, stopped to talk to somebody, and I'm like, put your glasses on across the quad.
You're like, in the glass in her classroom. I'm like, Delilah, put your glasses on.
Because, I mean, she's got a heavy prescription. She needs them.
I know, she needs them.
She can't not wear them. But I understand that she doesn't want to.
I know.
I get it. I said to Delilah in the car, I go, oh, I got you I got you a couple outfits for you to choose from to wear to the graduation. They're going to their cousin's graduation. And then I'm going to take the other ones back. But I wanted her to have, like, a fun outfit to wear. And she – I can't remember what she asked me about it. And I said, no, whatever. Was it have mermaids on it, let's just say. And I go, no. And she goes, no. And I go, Delilah – how do you think that made me feel? And she wouldn't answer it. I go, I tried to do something nice to you, and you complained about it. How do you think that makes me feel? She goes, bad. And I'm like, okay, I just want you to be aware that you have the power to make me feel bad.
Yeah.
Like, you can decide to make another decision in that moment.
Yeah, so if you're going to lie in the right direction.
Exactly.
Be like, Mom, you look skinny today. Okay.
I know.
All star coins are coming your way, you guys.
I know you have no problem embellishing, so please.
Embellish in the right direction. Let's wield that sword for positive.
Thank God I didn't want mermaids.
Yeah, thank God I didn't get mermaids. Woo! What is one lie that you've told that's ever kicked your ass? Like, flat out lie. Big lie.
Oh, I skip in school. Does that count?
Yes.
Okay.
You skipped school?
So much.
Wait, where'd you go?
Doing exactly the stuff you shouldn't be doing.
Wait a minute. So you would, like, not show up? How did you get out of it?
I could do my mom's signature. Sorry. You guys, I've never pretended. But here's the thing. Because I did, like, have such guilt about it, and I knew that it was, like, bad, that, like, I'd get sent to the dean, and I'd be like, just give me all my detentions and stuff. And there was a time the German teacher, Mr. Pascal, I wasn't in detention, and he goes, were you sick? Like, because look, you guys, I had a rough,
look at how nervous she is right now. I'm like, pretend, in my brain, I'm like, I want to skip school.
I kicked my ass so much about it. Nobody could have felt more guilty. And I still do. But I also, like, I'm trying to give myself a little bit of grace because there was a lot going on in my childhood. You know.
Also, it makes you cool. Everybody wants to hang out with the chick that skipped school a little bit. You didn't go crazy.
It was fun because it would be like you could go to somebody's house. You could day drink. You could smoke cigarettes. You could.
Yeah.
You could. And here's the thing. I got really good grades.
Yeah, so.
I was good in school. I did all the extra stuff. But I did
Once in a while, I had to lie
and say that I was not doing that bad stuff in order to
have fun.
And that never feels good. And I decided literally in my 20s, because I felt so guilty about that. And like, you know, like I liked my dance team coach and I had to like
lie
that, oh, I wasn't one of the drinking kids or I wasn't this. And I decided in my 20s, I was like, I'm not going to do anything that I have to lie to my mom about.
But this is when Kristen was like, I'm going to do all the things in my 20s that I have to lie to my mom about. That was the reverse of our lives. I was like, whoa. I don't have to worry about disappointing them.
Yeah.
I just have to worry about disappointing myself.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna disappoint the shit out of myself over and over again until I'm like 32.
But at that point, like I was at the age where I felt like it was all my decision.
Yeah.
So like I get to die on that sword if that's what I decide to do.
You feel the brunt of those consequences.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I was honest about stuff like that with her to be like, give me some compassion.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I think that's, I mean, she did a good job, like, in teaching me, like, you should feel bad if you're not dishonest. If you're not, like, if I shouldn't have been doing stuff that made me feel bad. Like, I shouldn't have been doing anything I had to lie about.
But that's the learning curve of that age. And also, especially your 20s, it is a learning curve. It is figuring out, like, if you lie to yourself, you lie to others, you lie about your life, you lie about where you're at, and then you come to a place where you're like, I think I just need to be honest with myself. And that's maturity and growth. And then in those moments, you realize that like the truth sets you free.
Yes.
I think I very much realized very early on that the more honest I was about myself, the funnier it was. So if I was sort of like honest, it was way easier than lying. It just didn't always make me look cool. And I just learned that. And I think that had to do with a whole ADD thing and all that. But I did learn that like lying just was not going to be a part of my DNA. Like I'm too forward and I can't remember what I said when I lie, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember the one time I skipped school. Also, I will always get caught. I will always get caught. One time that I skipped school was 2 days before I graduated high school. And my friend Lynn and I was like,
Kristen, you're supposed to do that.
I know. And I said, let's skip school. By the way, I'm in a town of 2,000 people. Okay.
God,
my mom's a
teacher.
Please
tell them where you went to.
I went to Subway during lunch break. Guess who else goes there? Every teacher on their lunch break. Yeah. So Lynn and I walk up and we order Subway sandwiches. We didn't even go anywhere, Jen. We went where teachers go have lunch. So we're sitting down and we're having a Subway sandwich together in full public with all the teachers. And like, I'm like, just pretend like, and I looked at Lynn and I go, just pretend in your brain like we have a pass, like we're allowed to go. I think all the teachers were like, oh, they clearly have some sort of pass to like go be a teacher's aide. They weren't doing the math until like.
Or else they were like, what are we going to do over the next 2 days?
Yeah.
What lesson are we going to teach
them? So then Lynn and I are like, oh God, we're going to get busted. We'd already been busted. So then already at this point, the principal, Mr. Huggett at the high school already had heard that we were at Subway and it just didn't add up. And he was like, what? Because there's like 50 people in my class.
Yeah.
So Lynn and I park really far away and we try to go in the front entrance of the school, which is made of glass. So all you see is Lynn and I scurrying between what we think are like, it's like watching, they're like, we can see you in panoramic view trying to sneak back into a school made of glass. And we're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So then we go in, we got busted. Mr. Huggett goes, why would you go to Subway?
Like, where else were you?
We didn't know where to get lunch.
A hardware store?
He's like, you guys do this bad. You're not good at this. So then he's like, all right, well, now I got to give you detention, my only detention, and you have to stain the podium for graduation.
I can't believe he bothered. Really?
Yeah. You know what, though? We were staining it, and we felt like such rebels. We felt awesome.
It felt pretty cool.
We were like, look at us in detention, staining a podium for graduation that I'll probably give a speech at. So this is great. Like, you know, like we are absolute rebels at this point. And there you go. They're not good at lying.
That's amazing. Well, to bring this full circle, because you just reminded me. So my husband's friend, Amanda, that he went to college with, I was like, give me some shit on my husband, you know?
Yeah.
Like, she goes, well, we lived in this dorm that had like a curfew, like the doors were locked at like 10. And she said, we lived on the first floor. So she was like, almost every night.
Oh, no.
He and his friends would knock on her window and have to crawl in. Through there, and I'm like, eh.
10's pretty early for a curfew, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, and it was funny because my father-in-law was like, do you really want your son to hear this? I go, if that's all he's doing in college, I am good fine God. With that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I have to tell my husband, I'm like, just so you know, when you talk about the glory days, having beers,
you get a sparkle.
You get a big old sparkle in your eyeballs.
Oh, God, I know.
So stop telling those stories from high school, sir, and yeah. also from college, sir, because it didn't go well, and your GPA is a reflection of that. And I would just like to say, can we please just, like, cool it on the old the glory days of Texas A&M? Yeah,
100%. All this stuff that we did that we think is bad, we will lie to our kids
we
about for the most
part. We
will
fucking lie. I will
proudly do it.
Yeah, I look at – I mean, Finn thinks he was a 9-pound preemie.
Oh, hey.
Doesn't need to know the truth. Not yet. I mean, he does. He doesn't even get
unless he's like an OB at some point. He might still get confused.
Eleanor
you know?
Called me on it. She goes, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So you were pregnant when you got married? And I go, yep. She goes, so that means you had sex with daddy. And
whoa!
I go,
one time.
I go, and she goes, that means you've had sex with him 2 times. And I go, yep, that's accurate. Lies.
Lies. Lies, you guys.
Lies, you guys. Lies.
Need to know basis.
Need to know. You don't know me. I don't.
Well, I do. I have a hot flash that nobody's going to find hot, but it's like a hot topic. Hot flash. Hot flash. Hot flash. I think you'll love it, Kristen.
Okay.
So my daughter is very, very into Jane Goodall right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new documentary that's out on her, and I think it's on Netflix. And, I mean, she did all of these amazing, not just humanitarian, like the biggest animal lover ever. She also was a scientist when women weren't scientists. I mean, she's 90-something now.
And gorgeous, I think. Just like naturally looks like.
Can still sit crisscross applesauce if that doesn't tell you something. But she – I thought about her because she travels 300 days out of the year still.
Wow.
And so she has this really great part in the documentary that I was like, I love that so much. I have to like incorporate that thought into my life. And I think it can help everyone to have this thought in your life. So when she was like, you know, she, obviously everybody knows who she is. She helped gorillas and
gorillas
chimpanzees and stuff like that. So at one point, there was this offer from Conoco Gasoline to build a reserve because they were drilling for oil in this place where all of these this wildlife was getting killed off, like big, gross, horrible enemy. And so she – all of these people said to her, how can you sit down at a table with them and compromise when they are doing all these horrible things? And she goes, well, they want to do this nice thing, this good thing that will help the animals. And she goes – it started to occur to me that all of these people asking me this put gas in their car and heated their homes with gas that this company was supplying. So it's like they were being a little bit too righteous.
Yeah.
And she's like, with that righteousness, you don't come to the table with compromise.
Yeah.
So she's like, I sat down with them and they agreed to build this beautiful reserve. Yeah. And she said, with that in mind, she met with the Secretary of State, who I can't remember right now, during the 80s, who is a well-known hunter and like a big game hunter. But she had heard that he was a conservationist, which she was like, I don't understand how those two things align in my world, because she was dealing with poachers. But she said she literally sat down to have lunch with him and said, here is what I'm trying to do. And he said, here is what I am trying to do. And she said, let's work together on that part of it. So he called – well, back then they didn't even have like fax machines. He sent this message to ambassadors of every country and said, please meet with her.
Yeah.
She's kind of brings tears to my eyes. She is doing good things.
Yes.
And she isn't about hurting business as much as she is. Her main concern is just taking care of the wildlife
yeah.
in your country. And she said she would show up to these, to the airport, and the ambassadors would send cars for her. She got this welcome open arm meeting that she would never have gotten.
Yeah.
You have to be reasonable. Smart. Yeah.
You have to be reasonable. You have to be a good listener, and you have to be willing to compromise.
Yeah.
If you want change, you cannot get all the things you want on the list.
No, how can you
and
not
the other
sit down
side
and
cannot
hear their
get
side.
All the things on their yeah. list. But we can agree on four or five things on the list, and that's progress.
Yeah. So everybody watch it. Make everybody watch it too. Yeah. Cause it's so good.
It sounds
and
really good.
We can post a link on the podcast page. I can't remember where it's at, but
I think we podcasted.
Yeah. I think we beat ourselves up
are
for
we lying
childhood
about it?
Guilt.
Are we lying that we podcasted? Are we talking?
No, we did podcast.
I disappointed anybody.
I know. Hopefully, whatever. My mom will never listen to this. She will never.
My mom
listen to
will
this.
Not listen to this. She
Are
will lie and
me?
Tell me that she has.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
She'll look
that's
at me
polite.
And be like, "You should feel bad."
That's the good kind, though.
That's the good kind. All right, guys.
Bye.